Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look.
Sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, peace and blessings, everyone. It's your girl, Bree, and you are experiencing Bree Life Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and please tell your friends and family to call in. The call-in number is 424-220-1862. That number is 424-220-1862. Before we jump in to the topic, the electric topic that is causing me to get a lot of emails, text messages, phone calls, inboxes on Facebook and Twitter, I just want to send a special shout out to the students of PS 161 for welcoming me on Monday night at Women's Day for the PTA meeting. And a special shout out to Demetrius Lawrence and his wife Aisha for recognizing me and Bree Life Radio. So thanks again for having me. I had a wonderful time, and I'm just very thankful for being recognized in the community. Well, guess what we're talking about tonight, people? We are talking about SEX. So let's jump right in. So I have a question. I have a question for you. If you like someone, how fast do you think you should proceed when it comes to sex? I mean, when should we go from how you doing to you were great last night? These are the questions that we are forced to deal with on a daily basis now when we're navigating through the relationship superhighway of this new millennium. There's no doubt that we were created as sexual beings, right? So if any one of you out there has at least had one child, you've been sexual at least one time. You are well aware of your desires to attain intimate pleasure while sharing your space with the opposite sex. So your goal may be to immediately have, I don't know, what are we talking about? SEX. So I want to hear from you guys tonight. I really do. Whether your choices are driven by religion, health concerns, or some other moral or ethical code, you cannot escape the reality of these three letters. It has impacted your life on occasion, if not daily. So what say you? You know that's how I feel. Join me and my co-host, Mark from Houston, Texas, as we present the first of what will surely be an ongoing look at our views and our attitudes, our rules and our conducts when it comes to sex. Again, I want everyone to call. I want this to be an open dialogue, so tell your friends and family. And, of course, this is going to be a show tonight that is provocative, so I would suggest that the small ears be removed from the room. But call in, and you could do so at 424-220-1862. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to my co-host, and he's worldwide known as Mark from Houston, Texas. Peace and blessings, Mark.
Peace and blessings, Bree, and the Bree Life audience. What's going on?
Well, you know what we're talking about tonight. But before we start, what do we usually do at the top of the show? We breathe light. So I'm going to ask everyone, because this is going to be a hot topic. We're going to need a lot of oxygen in our lungs. So let's take a deep breath. And we are breathing light. So, Mark from Houston, Texas, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, we're talking about those three alphabets in the English language. It's S, E, and X put together. Kind of always draws some level of conversation, sometimes consternation, sometimes, it's taboo, it's hush-hush. It takes on all kind of tones, you know, and dating presents many challenges when you start talking about dating as well. So the fact that we are wired to be attracted to each other is undeniable, so how do we go about seeking out each other and connecting to one another? You know, the ways we seek out each other are varied as the individuals that are doing it. But when should a person drop the draws? I mean, what are the rules? I don't have answers for anyone, but because...
The rules of what? Engagement, people, as we talk about? Passionately talk about regularly, the rules of engagement. Yeah, there are rules of engagement when it comes to sex. And... you know, when you transition from being a teenager to an adult, it changes, and how you date, how you interact, how soon, like you said, how soon should we be actually thinking about the idea of engaging in sex with someone who we are just getting to know? Are there people out there that think it's okay to have sex on a first date? Or should we follow the school of Steve Harvey and work with the 90-day rule? Well, I want to hear from everyone, so you can call in and give me and Brother Mark here your perspective on the topic we're talking about tonight. It's sex. So call into 424-220-1862. And I'm going to bring a caller on the line. I believe this is my brother Alex from Virginia. So without further ado, Alex.
What's up, Bree? What's up, Mark? What y'all doing, baby? What you up to?
We talking about S. X.
My favorite subject.
Well, what say you, my brother Alex?
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing good. I'm just listening to the show. I got a little bit of, you know, ideas and knowledge to give to you guys if you'll have me, because a few times I was on, I was kicked off.
We didn't kick you off. long as you don't come to the table talking about no fragadackle stuff, you know, you all right. But you're my brother, and you always welcome to the table. You're always welcome to come through the door, baby. But let's talk about sex. So, what do you think the right span of time should be when two people are getting to know one another? And just by the way, before you start, I'm going to be reading some emails that I received throughout the course of the week of people who knew that I was going to be talking about this topic and weren't going to be available, so they sent their emails in. So, Alex, talk about sex.
Well, you know, for me, I think that usually 3 months is a good timeline before you actually get intimate with somebody. I think it's enough time to get to know their lifestyle a little bit. Maybe you've met a few family members to see how they roll, that kind of thing. 6 months would probably be the max, I think, because at that time you know if this is going to turn into a more serious situation, if you guys, you know, are going to be exclusive and so forth. But I tend to go with the 90-day rule. Because I still believe, I know in past shows I talked a lot of mess or whatever, but I still believe in courting a woman. I still believe in chivalry. I still believe in wooing her. Okay,
wow.
I believe in doing that.
And you heard it live on the Bree Life radio show.
I believe in it, Bree, but here's the thing, okay?
Okay.
I believe in it, and I do it, because that's how I got my wife, my current wife, okay? The problem is a lot of women are receptive to that, and they give in too easy. We live in the age of booty calls, one-night stands, and this and that. You guys just give it too easy. I mean, if vagina was
please
a spot.
Don't put me in that pot when you
listen,
say, you guys, I can't take it. Don't drag me into the bowels of degradation.
Mark.
Wow.
I'm going to talk to Mark right now. Okay.
I love you, Alex.
Wow.
Hey, Mark, check it out, Mark. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy. So, that's something that should be taken into consideration.
Let me address that, though. I mean, first of all, I hear what Alex said. He has 90 days. Bree just said, don't drag her into the balls of degradation on anything shorter or whatever. Here's my thing. I think that we don't know what the rules are. It ain't no rules. I mean, or should I say they're so highly personal and they're so highly in the moment that when you say they're giving up the draws, you got to remember, sex is a two-way street, and because we're sexual beings, we both want it at some period of time. Now, we may feel like we have to have some kind of restraint because we have various, like Bree said in her monologue, we have, you know, codes of ethics and codes of conduct and all these other ethical considerations or whatever. But at the end of the day, this is driven by a very primal type of drive called the sex drive. And depending on how you feel at the moment you're at the wheel, you may want to put your foot on the gas, you might want to put your foot on the brakes, but the reality is it's inside of you and you want to do something with it. So when you're in a moment, it's easy to talk 30, 60, 90 days because all these feelings are going on in fractions of 30 or 90 or 60 seconds, okay? So giving it up easy, I mean, because remember, we're giving up something too. So it's a two people are giving. So
I agree with that.
She's not just giving up. You giving up too.
Right.
Okay, if I may jump in. But here's the thing. You know, excuse me. I believe that I think I'm right in between the both of you, so to speak, you know, in terms of your perspectives, because I don't necessarily believe that you should give in to the moment. I think especially the older we get, there are more considerations that should be taken an exercise when you're talking about being intimate with one another. Because here's, I'm without going too deep into anything, personally, I feel every time you are intimate with someone, they take a part of your essence with you. So I don't know that I want to casually be having my essence floating all over while, you know, a dozen or half dozen people that I might meet in the course of, let's say, a year span of time, because I think that's just too much sexual activity without there being some level of commitment and commitment to the exploration of going to another level. I somewhat agree with the 90-day rule to some degree, because I feel that that gives you enough time to really explore who's in your life and whether or not you want to be intimate with them and you want to be going to additional levels. I think sex complicates things. You know, that I truly believe that sex complicates things. I had a person email me, and the synopsis of the email clearly was stating that she met a guy. The guy was still he still was having feelings for a person that he was in a relationship for a 3 or 4 year period, mm-hmm. but they were attracted to one another. And he gave disclosure, but he was attracted to her and he liked her, and she liked him, and they weren't seeing other people, so they became intimate. But here's the flip thing: she was more the dominant figure in the interaction. Meaning how most men have been labeled, like if they have casual encounters, they'll have sex with a woman, get up, take a shower, put their clothes in, and break out of there. She was the empowered one. And she did it 1, 2, 3 times, and then guess what happened? Old boy caught feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And got upset with her because she maintained her casual perspective. Because she knew, and I'm reading her words sort of now verbatim, I knew that he still had feelings for his ex-fiancée, and I did not want to get hurt. So I maintained my level of emotional control, and I did not allow myself to get caught up with the sexual, emotional intimacy.
Well, she just wanted
he,
something.
On the other hand, caught feelings and got mad at me because I kept treating him in a casual way.
So, Bree, let me ask a question real quick. So dig this. When I hear what you just read, I have categories here. I have sex for simply pleasure. I have sex for a bonding. And then I have sex for this whole concept of long-term relationship or being somewhere.
Are these your personal categories or
these
are total categories
these,
you have?
No, these are mine. I'm telling you, I'm just saying.
Okay,
you got
okay.
Sex was simply pleasure. Sex was back to my whole point of the primal desire. The primal desire to connect with somebody is not a desire that's based out of some particular I have to be with you forever type thing. It is simple and is base and is one of our guttural lower level type of vibrations, and that is to hook it up to the next, to hook it up to a receptacle. That's the bottom line. And in the moments when you want that release, because that's why people masturbate, because when you're masturbating, you're still having a sexual release, but it's just you stimulating that. So in the situation where you just have for simply pleasure, you want a release, and you want another warm body assisting you doing that, okay?
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing. And what she accepted was she understood the situation was she had pleasure,
on her mind, she liked the guy, but she knew he wasn't available for other things, and she accepted that. So what she did was compartmentalize, which we do. She put this on this shelf and this cupboard. She didn't, as my, you know, I have my oldest son is funny, because when he eats, he's one of those kind of people that he doesn't want his other food to touch each other. I'm not that disciplined with a fork. So for me, I can't compartmentalize like that. But there are people out there, when it comes to sex, for instance, they can compartmentalize. They really can do it. They can go and they can say, hey, I enjoyed it. Boom. Because what she said a key thing, which we've talked about, me and you, Bree, talking about a lot, is controlling your emotions. It is emotional pursuit, and you can. Now, here's the thing. If she did it, if it was a one-time thing or a couple-time thing, that's one thing. But now, if she continues to do it over and over again, she exposes herself to losing control. But if she's just doing it like that, she can do that. And people do it every
time. Well, the email goes on, and she went on to say that this person eventually could not handle the fact that she was able to maintain emotional control.
Mm-hmm.
And he then said, well, I would like for us to be in a relationship. And she told him no, because until she was well aware that, or it was abundantly clear to her that he was not having any feelings for his ex-fiance, she didn't want to chance it.
Mm.
You know, obviously they had some attraction to one another. And, oh, by the way, in the email it states that they work together.
Okay, well, that's
Lord.
Workplace romance—that's another show.
Yep.
Workplace
romance.
That's another show. Hey, people, don't do it. Anyway, that's my opinion. Mark said it.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't do it.
Let me say this, Bree and Mark, because Mark brought up masturbation. This is why people masturbate, to get that release, because a lot of times life is stressful and things are going on, and we just need that release. You know, and sometimes, you know, you do those things, you masturbate. And, you know, masturbation is okay because you save a lot of money on dinner and you don't have to argue with your right hand.
Mm.
So
right.
Sometimes that works.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know what? Before we even move on from that point, we are going to bring on my tale, lovingly known as Turtle.
Hey, gentlemen. I have a question for the gentleman, because he said women are giving it up too easy. So are you using that as a gauge as to not talk to them, or they're just not worth talking to or having as a significant partner? Is that something that's being used against them for you saying that? Like,
it will plummet.
Okay, so they're using that as a quality quantifier, right? That they're not of quality because they're giving it up so easy. That's what you're saying, right?
No, what I'm saying is that.
Right. You get in a relationship and you get a long-term relationship, and there's no sex involved. So what do you guys want? Like, and then back to the masturbation piece. Men are masturbating for a release. Women would prefer to have that gentleman there for those things, but since it's hard to find one of quality, then they want to do it.
Let me answer the question.
I don't know why it's hard to find. Why is it hard to find one of quality? It's too many. That's another show.
Okay, there you go. That's another show. But he talking about quality as well as we talking about quality. So hey, there go another show for you. But yeah, but answer your question.
Can I answer the question now?
Yeah, we're listening.
All right. The reason why I say that, because typically women can't have it both ways, okay? If you want a guy to wound you and be chivalrous to you and wait 3 months or 60 days or whatever, that's fine. But you have to exude that, okay? You can't give it up the same night and then expect the guy to be a gentleman to you. That's not going to happen.
See, that is just truly backwards, really, to be honest.
It's okay
for y'all. It's okay for y'all.
You know, I would really, this is one time I'm going to let Mark take this one for sure.
It's
because
okay for y'all, but for women to have uninhibited inhibitions, then all of a sudden she's getting labeled. Like, see?
Yeah. I don't agree with that. Gail and Alex, check this out, y'all. And see, I heard Alex say, I don't view it that way. I don't get down that way because, see, my concept, when I say I compartmentalize, meaning that if I like you, if we have it fast or slow, I like you. For real, my mood about you is probably less likely to change because of anything sexual that we have and more about how you get down with me, period. That's just how I've been in my history. It's not no, I get the sex, and now because I got it yesterday, I got it 2 days after we met, that we ain't cool no more. That's not it. Nor
I understand your perspective.
Right. So, and I heard what's the name saying, but see, I got to agree with him to the extent that a lot of guys, it's a conquest anyway. So they can get it. But what I will disagree with him on is that even if I wait 30 days, on 60 days, and if it's truly about conquest for me, and I decide I want to conquest you, 90 days ain't gonna make no difference because once I conquest you, if I'm about that use it and throw it away mentality, I'm gonna do that in 90 days too. So I hear what y'all saying, but you know, I mean, and remember this: if I know I'm under a 90-day rule and I gotta go, I'm gonna show you what I need to show you. You'd be surprised. I can keep it together for 60, 90 days. I can show
what happens anyway.
Too.
That's usually what happens anyway, because most of the time the brothers don't even know how to act right within a 30-day period. They're not even making it to 30 days. Okay? But here's the thing. So the representative, first of all, crazy usually seeps out in 30 days. So if I sense crazy, it ain't happening. Okay?
Right.
Crazy and complication will get you. You know, I'm diverting your calls because I don't want to be bothered. Okay?
Right.
Now, but with the whole 90 days, here's what I would say. What is the rush? Why can't we do some talking with one another to ensure? Now, here's what, you know, I'm all over the place, and please, you know, this is a hot topic. I'm trying to maintain control here, but why are we rushing, but why are we also placing so much emphasis on something that should be esoteric? It should be seamless. It should happen when it's supposed to happen. Why are we doing so much? I mean, there's a level of dialogue that should definitely take place when it comes to sex, because you want to make sure that you are compatible. But I feel like having that conversation in our first couple of dates is inappropriate. You know, why are we talking about sex on the first date?
Okay,
why are we doing that?
Okay, here's the thing. If you good with that, that's good. But see, my problem with this whole conversation that happens all the time is all this: well, this should happen, well, this shouldn't happen. It happens when it happens. If it happens an hour into our conversation, that's when it happens. If it happens a week, fine. What's inappropriate? I mean, what do you mean? I think what's inappropriate is somebody doing something that's vulgar maybe in the moment. But other than that, if I bring up the conversation.
We can talk about that. I got an email about that,
yeah,
too.
I know. I can't wait till we talk about that, too, because that's a whole other thing. But if you think
that,
I'm like Bree.
I don't want to be talking about, you know, about no sex on the first date, because that's just, I don't even want to do it. But
okay,
basically,
but if you go,
I see we're talking about two generations, because what I'm seeing, and you guys can clarify this, is you guys be sleeping around more than women. But,
we sleep around with women, so I don't know how that goes, so anyway.
You got the baby boomers, and there are me and Bree's pretty much, I'd say, me and Bree's thinking pattern pretty much. But then you got the new generation, and they don't have those inhibitions. They don't have those strains holding them down that we have, which is religion. And I ain't going to say not values and morals, but a lot of times we had a lot of stuff pushed on us So it affects how you function in society. And then the next generation, they didn't grow up with religion, so therefore they're more freer in that area. And I know because I work with a lot of teens and, you know, preteen, like 20s and 25, like that. They don't have all that, all those morals and values put in place that, well, what I should and shouldn't do. That's what I see. But if you go with the older school, they say you shouldn't even be doing that until you're married anyway. So now what?
Guess what? Speaking of, that's a perfect segue for my next comment, because I was talking to my aunt, Ethel Lee, who has called into the show a couple of times, and I told her what the topic was. She, you know, she calls me Brina. So she's like, Brina, what's the topic going to be for tomorrow? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I'm getting ready to tell the church lady we talk about sex. So I said, Aunt Ethel Lee, we're talking about sex tomorrow. She said, talking about sex? I said, yeah, we're talking about sex. She said, well, you know what? Why are we talking about sex? Why are we not talking about love? And I said, well, we're going to have that show on Ethel Lee. But I said, realistically, because of the dynamic shift in the world and how men and women are relating today, sex, all that fighting for rights and stuff got us to where we are. So women feel, and this is a conversation I was having earlier today with a listener and a friend of mine, that women feel more comfortable today with expressing their sexuality more so than ever in the history of the world. And that's why there's open dialogue about, that's why we're able to have this open dialogue. Now, Mark, in an earlier conversation that he and I had, he made a very valid point that in countries outside of the United States, they talk about and they live a life that is infused with sexuality, and there are social issues that don't exist in their society like the United States, you know, opposed to the United States. So that's something, that's a dynamic that, you know, could be discussed, viewed and discussed and dissected. But, you know, it's just a different world we're living in now, and that's why we're able to talk about sex. I'll tell you honestly, you know, that generation, my mother and my aunt's generation, when they were raising, I'm not speaking about them specifically, but I know mothers that of their generation did not openly, you know, the majority of them did not feel comfortable talking about sex with their children. What say you about that?
You don't
well,
have to feel free.
This is what I have to say. Check this out, Alex. Let me say this real quick. See, me and Bree had this conversation, and I got, you know, I have some interesting observations, because all I got to do is look at kids, how many kids is out there my age, how many different stepfathers and other fathers and other fathers and other people were in the people's families. And you know what I think? I disagree with Gail about this whole religion thing. I think what religion did in my mom's and them era was push it underground. They were doing it. They were doing it. They were doing it. They've been doing it. They were doing it without marriage. They were in marriage cheating. I was talking to one of my friends who, she is 51 years old, and she found out on her mom's deathbed who her real dad was, and this woman was a school teacher out of New Jersey. She was married, but she had another affair while she was married. Now, think about it. If she's 51 and a baby was born out of that, what do we got to do? Let's do the math. This has been going on, and I know more stories than that. I remember as a kid seeing what I kind of saw in the neighborhoods and so forth and so on. And granted, maybe Chicago is an anomaly, but that woman grew up in New Jersey. Maybe New Jersey is an anomaly. We can keep going
Mark? You ain't even got to go back that far. Just watch Maury Povich. These women don't know who their babies or daddies are.
Wow.
You know, I had to go back that far, Alex. I had to go back that far. The reason I wanted to is because I wanted to draw a framework. The reason, I've always said this whole thing about this women live moving in any other movement, people move when they're not comfortable or they're not cool with what's going on. If
we're bringing
cool,
Gail back on. I think she might have got disconnected.
Okay.
Gail? Okay.
I'm here. I just have it on mute. I'm here.
Okay.
But what I was saying was when Gail was mentioning the whole thing about in the past, see, I knew. I mean, I can tell you, I have in my family alone, other people's family, what religion did, it's not working like it used to work anymore. Because what it did was it suppressed it and people kept it on the ground. Because, hell, we can go back to David, and David had a woman in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Forget before Jesus came. I mean, when Jesus came. Before Jesus came, David had a man's wife, I mean, husband, killed so he could have an affair with the woman. The reality is this. Folks running around, I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on. You know, it's been going on. It still goes on. And if the Bible as a book, and there are other books out here, but as the Bible as a book, most of us grew up with it some kind of way, was teaching what to do, that should tell you it wasn't being done. Because if it's being done, I ain't got to talk about doing it. And it keep, and that's my whole point. We've been always wrestling with this issue of how do we express ourselves sexually? Because it's a primal drive, and it's such a strong drive. Other than your appetite to eat, it's one of the, it's the strongest drive in your own human body.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got this super strong drive. You want to put on the wraps. You want to say, as Bree said, 90 days. What's the hurry? Another
no. Bree did not say 90 days. Bree said, "What is the hurry?"
Look, I'm trying to tell you. It's not, forget whether you hurry or not. Let's identify how strong that drive is. And then if you know how strong that drive is, you understand what the hurry is.
I understand what the drive is. But just because you understand what the drive is, why do you always have to act out every primal feeling
you don't.
That
you don't.
You have?
We don't.
We should be exercising some level of control because guess what? When you don't exercise control, things get out of control, and what winds up happening? You can become pregnant. You get STDs.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the emotional ramifications behind things being lopsided, as my previous email depicted.
And
how do you keep a man? Somebody said last week. Why, if women need to stop doing it because you make it, you're not, okay, women need to stop because they're having the pick of the field. So then you got the girl who don't do it, but then you got the girl over here that do it. What are her options? Because she's losing out to the girls that do.
No, she's not.
But
she ain't losing out nothing. She ain't losing nothing. She's not losing
pretty
nothing.
Pretty much she is. Because we had this conversation. I believe it was me and you that had this conversation.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I believe it was me and him that had the conversation about girls who do and the girls that don't. So women should, women should just stop doing it so fast like that. But you can't get everybody on the same page at the same time. So the girls of quality who are, the girls of quality who are trying not to,
are
losing out to the girls that do.
But this is what I told
Gail. Let me jump in on that. I have to piggyback off of what Gail just said because There is an alarming rate of young women that are choosing to abstain from having penetration, but they are having oral sex in school with boys so that they don't have to have penetration. That is very alarming.
Yeah, I heard about all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's very alarming to me that,
mm-hmm.
you know, these girls who like these boys who feel that they want to keep them engaged, keep them involved, would have oral sex opposed to the penetration, don't understand. Either one is, it's still sex.
But
why would you?
I have a question for you, Kabri. I have a question for
they
you.
They want to stay virgins, of course, but, they, you know, no
respect,
one is teaching these young women about what the ramifications of just being sexual are. What the emotional ramification moving forward is going to be for them.
Okay,
it's going to be emotional
and
mental.
All due respect. All due respect, the majority of people that's listening to this program, I can promise you, ain't in high school, and I like to redirect back to our era of what's going on, because I'm out here. I've been dating.
But I just wanted to address what Elle was saying, because she's working with youth.
Right. And what I told, this is what I told her. I told Gail, I said, here's the reality. Women complain a lot about what men do, and they want this, that, that. You all are the gatekeepers. Because if I'm chasing after you, we're assuming I ain't no a crazy out of my mind guy that's running around raping women. So let's put him aside. I am not, nor the majority of my colleagues and friends are that. So therefore, if I'm going to have sex with a woman, I am dependent on her. So the question is, if Gail is right, she's afraid. Is she afraid that if she don't have sex with me, I ain't going to stay? Well, I'm going to answer that for the women that I've encountered. They ain't worried about that because they're not trying to keep me one way or the other. When they want to have sex with me, if they want to have sex with me, their whole possession was that's what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do. Was no guarantee for anything. Now,
and let me,
I'm just saying, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, let me say this. Just to somewhat shift gears a little bit, you know, because this sexuality thing, sex is a very, very powerful thing. It's like you were saying, Mark, it's very primal, animalistic. You know, people, we have pheromones, we sniff each other and get turned on.
Baby.
It's a very animalistic thing, okay?
Yes.
But what I want to say is that why is it that whenever, let's say a female entertainer, her career is in the tubes, or a woman that's probably trying to get into the spotlight, all right? Why is it that whenever they try to feel like, I want to be free and independent, I want to express myself, they get on a magazine with their ass out? Why is that expressing freedom and independence? You got to do that to show that you're free and independent? Tony Braxton,
yeah, well,
Playboy. This
that's
one
it.
On Playboy.
Y'all walk around with y'all shirts off. What's the difference? What's that about? Like,
no,
okay,
totally
you're hot. You're so hot.
Totally
and you got to walk around with your shirt off. What's the difference?
Totally different.
You're being free and independent. What's the difference?
Because sex sells, right?
Yeah, So she's getting on the cover and she's making her money.
Why does that validate her freedom and independence?
It's not everyone. It's not everyone.
It's most of them.
Because she has her freedom. Her freedom is about the saying she can do this if she chooses to. Now, you may say, I don't know what that's about.
Her body is a piece of art.
I love you, Gail. But let me say something. Gail, I love you.
Hold on, because we're going to bring our other most favorite guest caller on, Big C from Pennsylvania. Big C.
What's going on, people?
Okay, text me, so I'm bringing you in. What say you on this whole topic? I see your text, but I didn't know if you wanted me to paraphrase for you, so I'll give you the opportunity to say what you text me.
on two fronts, I had two comments. And the first comment in regards to when you guys were discussing about young people?
No, well, we were discussing when is it appropriate.
Okay. And it's been my experience in working when I used to run youth programs that this whole trend of the young females having oral sex instead of penetrating sex started in the early 80s. It's like a trend. And then it went from there into lesbianism.
Okay.
And you found a high number of young women that are bisexual, if not.
Well, he went straight left.
Yeah.
He went lesbian on us.
He did. And a lot of that came out of fear of the pregnancy, and a lot of them had the misconception that having oral sex or sex with the same sex was a means of not transmitting STDs. That's led to the rise of chlamydia and a lot of the other sexually transmitted diseases. That was one point that I wanted to bring out. Two, in regards to the dating scene or relationship scene or whatever, I agree with what Mark said. I mean, you can't put a timeline as to when the two of you are going to go bumpy-bumpy. It's going to happen. It's
bumpy,
going to happen.
Bumpy. You hear that?
Say that again. Say that. What's your phrase again? You call that again?
Bumpy-bumpy.
Yeah, bumpy-bumpy. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I feel as though especially in this day and age with the more mature set, you start putting stipulations on quote unquote grown and sexy folks about 30 days, 90 days, 60 days, and all that stuff.
You
can.
Why can't I, the person who's in control of my body, my emotions, my mm-hmm. thoughts, decide when I'm whether you know what time is good for me to become intimate with
someone?
If I have to fear that you won't be interested in me because I'm not willing to have sex with you within the first week or within the first month of us knowing one another, well, move around.
If you're compatible, you're compatible.
Therefore, you will be on the same page with me,
right.
And I'm on the same page with you, and we're going to do it when the moment is right for us.
That's a sign early on that you're not compatible. Because if you were compatible with that person, and particularly in that aspect, then it wouldn't be no issue.
But I'm not saying that
it's
an issue. I'm telling you,
issue. If Bree don't want to do it until Bree want to do it. And she with somebody that she's with. It ain't, what's the pressure? The pressure is, if Bree says she don't want to, then she don't. And if he brings it up, even if whether it's casual or very direct, she's going to handle it the way she wants to handle it. And there's no wrong about that. Just similarly, if she says on day four she wants to, it ain't wrong with that either. But what we start doing is moralizing things. Now, unless you're trying to tell me, if it ain't about religion, because if it's about religion, then it's marriage. But if we ain't going to throw the religious moniker on top of it, then at the end of the day whenever Bree is ready, whenever Gail is ready, whenever Alex is ready, but he's married anyway, whenever Steve is ready. That's when
it's
you do
it. Our morals and our values that we choose to do. I mean,
there you go.
No one's fearing that because he's going to go to the other woman. But the fact of the matter is that's what usually happens because you guys are – men are more high-strung, I would like to say, and even think, because I've seen a lot. So I think you guys are more high-strung that you need those needs met. So therefore, it's harder for you guys to wait around unless you're just truly in love with that person.
You're generalizing.
I have to disagree with that one.
But you're out there. I mean, you don't have to disagree because you already said women give it up too easy. So therefore, you are running into those kind of women, and that's where you go back to the quality and the quantity.
Gail said it, and see, and Alex, I will say this: Gail is not really. If we're honest, the reality is this: if you put a woman in a room and a male in a room. And a male gets told he ain't going to be able to have sex, he can deal with that. But the reality is, if he's strong, he ain't going to hold out as well as a woman, unless he's a monk. I know enough women that I do believe that's telling me the truth. They ain't had sex in years. I don't know no men that ain't had no sex in no years. I don't know men that ain't had sex in years. I know women who have not had sex in years. So it is probably more likely because we have less of an ability to restrain it, that there may be some pressures on the woman to say yes. But what I am telling you is that I have had women come on me because that's what they want. It wasn't because of me.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, that's it. I agree with you, Mark. It's out there. There's women out there that is the sole aggressor.
Yeah, but even though they're aggressive, though, I will still say, at the end of the day, they're I think I can say it safely, there are more of us that ain't willing to wait. And if Sally come by and shake her behind, we might go with Sally if June ain't giving it up. Because
right.
It is
but,
final.
But,
we are dogs. We are dogs, and we are hunters. We want to get it. Now,
Mark,
women want to be satisfied.
Mark,
they do want to
Mark,
be satisfied. Go ahead.
Mark, would you agree that, because Turtle said this a little while ago. She said the women that don't give it up are losing the men to the women that are giving it up quicker. So, and sometimes in my estimation, the women that give it up quicker, yeah, they get more action, but they just getting smashed. And the women that wait, they're the ones that become the wives. It all depends on the mindset.
Wait, Alex, this is what I told Gail. She remembered I told her this too. I said, if you, well, I'm going to put it to you about quality women. Cream always rises to the top.
Yep.
Cream rises to the top. So if you,
but I agree with that.
You stand on what you stand on. Because the bottom line is, what I'm going to tell you is that if I have sex with a woman after 5 days, I'm she ain't a quality woman either, though. Because just because I wait for you for 30 days don't mean you quality.
There you
and
go.
I'm going to tell you this.
And guess what? I'm
there
gonna
you
find
go.
Out 5 years
and just because you have sex with her the first day don't mean she ain't quality. So
that
all that should be put aside. All that should be put aside.
I agree. I agree.
Perception is reality.
Well, it's a reality because there's a subjective reality and there's an objective reality. And
it depends on the mindset of the individual.
That's your order. You run around with the stars running around your head like that, and that's what you see. That's your perception. That's the reality. But my point is this. A woman's value is her value, and if you value her and she's telling you a certain thing and you really believe she's the one for you, you're going to play by her rules. And that's how the game is because we chase them. That's the bottom line.
Uh-huh.
If, at the end of the day, it's not that she's not valuable, but we don't want to wait for you to do that because I love you and I like you or I'm enamored by you, but I got a need right now. I got a need and you ain't helping me with it. Forget you ain't in a rush. I got to get it. Now, you might say, well, go get some Vaseline. I'm saying, I don't want no Vaseline. I want a warm body.
Mark.
Then she will say, well, have at it. Go get her.
Mark. You know,
yes,
just well as I do as a man, if you smash a woman the same night you meet them, you're not looking at her as wifey material. You're just not looking at her like that.
But see, here's the
okay.
thing. I don't know.
Didn't
because
he already
you know
say he didn't hold that perspective? He already said he didn't hold.
Yeah.
He didn't judge people like that.
But wait a minute. Well, let me say this real quick because Bree brought this up. And this is the reality. I'm going to tell you, don't trip. I had a woman tell me not that long ago, you know what she told me? She said she won't let a guy because she knows, in her mind, she looks at her body and her control of her body and her beauty of her body, her ability to do what she do. And she told me like this. She said, if a man sleeps with me usually right out the gate, I'm going to lose something for him. He going to want me. So she ain't worried. She's telling me this. I'm never worried about being smashed and left because anybody that get this, they want it. And they're going to keep wanting it, and they're going to keep wanting it. And if you go back to what Bree said, that ain't that weird because she gave an example of a woman that gave whatever she gave up, and he still wanted, and he still wanted, and she good.
Hey, Mark.
She can take him off of him.
Mark, that's an exception to the general census. I personally have known call girls, prostitutes, who got men home or who are married. And they could disconnect themselves with a John, have no feeling
mm-hmm.
with a John whatsoever, and go home and have two or three orgasms with their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's
what?
A disconnect.
Guess what, Alex? Let me tell you something. That same control, if they chose to apply it in that arena with their husband, because guess why we know this? Because women in marriages and in long-term relationships, when they decide they ain't feeling you no more, brother,
the man that they just loved and had all these feelings for, they cut you off.
That goes back to that sister's email who said she did what she did in that relationship and she didn't let her feelings cross over. She just did what she had to her business
exactly.
And moved on.
Exactly. That goes with my friend who said what she said, that she told me the same thing. The reality is this. She controls her feelings, and if she likes you, she's probably going to not give it to you because she knows that if she decides to look at you kind of crazy, it's a done deal. You get no more. Because guess what? She knows there's a commodity. She knows there's always other cats. She's not having a problem meeting guys. As much as more women than men, again, the cream sisters, they always get guys running after them. The top sisters always get it. So what happens for them is, even though there are more women than there are men, they still get a whole lot of men because they're cream.
Hey, Bree, can I ask Bree a question? Where's Bree at? Is Bree still there?
I don't know.
Bree.
I don't know.
Bree gone and then left up on the line.
But go on. Go ahead. Go ask a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bree is here.
Oh, you're there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Bree Light Radio Show. Of course I'm here.
Oh, okay. This is a scenario for everybody involved, and I've experienced this, and my boys have experienced this. You get into a new relationship with a woman or whatever, and if the sex is new and it's good, okay, that woman cannot stay off of you every day, all day. She's on you. You can't get a break, okay? Why is it that once she get comfortable and feel like you love her and you're hooked, why does that have to stop or slow down dramatically? I ain't putting that thing in my mouth.
Can I say something?
You better go watch it.
I'm going to tell you something. Actually, let me say something. If you ever get a chance, let me say this real quick. If you ever get a chance, it's a book. Wait a minute.
He said Bree.
If you ever get a chance, it's a book called Love Cycles. And it's
okay, can we
tell
Love Cycles after I answer the question, please? Please. Thank you. Okay. What happens is, and this is a mistake that happens on both sides of the table, but I'm going to answer it with regards to sex. You cannot go into it, and I keep saying this with the consistency too. With the way you enter into a relationship, you have to keep that momentum going. Now, of course, over time, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be, you know, they're going to be, you know, dips, but it shouldn't dip dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anything, you should be striving for, not perfection, but you should be striving to become as intimately close with your partner as possible. And you should infuse different things into your activity because who wants it the same way all the time? You know,
okay.
But you can't stop the level of connection and the amount of times that it happens. You can't expect to keep a relationship going if you're only being intimate once to three times a month. I don't think that's
right.
Especially if you're healthy, if you're young, you're healthy, you got vigor, you're able to move around, you should be active with your partner. I don't think that anything should dramatically be changing. No.
Well, sometimes it does,
okay.
Bree. And that's a problem.
That is a problem. That's a problem on both sides of the table.
Yeah,
I think it's which we need to talk about something else with regards to sex. How's about the people who come to the relationship and they're not very healthy? They come, we're talking about men who have health issues like high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, and or cholesterol, which is a prescription for what? Viagra.
Heart attack.
That was a prescription for not being able to perform. And they don't disclose that. They don't disclose that right away. Now, here's what happened. I had another email from a woman that talks about this very thing. She said she met this guy, and they were having, you know, they were getting to know one another, and she was just amazed just how gentlemanly he was. And aside from holding hands and, you know, the embraces and the kisses once in a while, he never pushed up on her and tried to make a move for sexual intimacy. But what happened was, after several months of this, she was ready to pursue and go to the next level. And she kind of, you know, was aggressive and pushed herself into the situation. And guess what happens? He could not perform. And it didn't just happen one time. It happened like 2-3 times. And, you know, where he finally fessed up and told her that he has high blood pressure, he suffers from cholesterol, and the medication that he's on is causing this erectile dysfunction. Now, how not right is that?
Let me tell you
now,
something.
Look how she got tricked. She got tricked thinking that this dude was a gentleman. And it wasn't that he was a gentleman. He just couldn't He couldn't perform. And he knew
Let me
that.
Tell you something. Let me tell you something, Bree. That high blood pressure medication is something else. That stuff will shrivel dudes up so bad, you'll be urinating on your scrotum. Because I know people who's on high blood pressure medicine, that shrivels them up bad, you know. So,
listen, because I'm a nurse, look, let's not talk about that. But here's the thing. Let's talk about the fact that it, you know, the disclosure of not being honest about his inability to not be able to perform.
Nobody's going to say that because of ego. Men have egos. Nobody's going to say that. Who's going to fess up to that?
Why is it silent in the peanut gallery? I don't hear my people talking in the background. What's happening?
We're not going to fess up to that because men have these egos. We have our big egos. We're not going to fess up to that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, it gets to the point where we can't perform because we psych ourselves up so bad, we psych ourselves out of it. Or his situation, the guy you were talking about, might have been he's used to being the aggressor and not being pursued, so it kind of threw his game off. It could be anything. It could be a number of things. You know, see, what women fail to understand is y'all don't have to channel any kind of energy in a specific area to get nothing hard and erect. You just got to lay there and spread them. Okay?
Well, I know for a fact, yes, women can look up far longer than brothers can look down. Okay? I do understand that. But here's the problem that I have with this the person who sent this email, is that the level of disclosure that did not exist between him and her for weeks and months. And then when it came time where it made sense that they would take it to another level, and she pushes the issue, and he finally gives in, and I'm sure he was probably, you know, psyching himself out, telling himself, you know, work, 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 and it didn't work. and, you know, I mean, my goodness.
Wow.
Hey,
what say you, Mark?
Well, all I know is this. First of all, it does happen, number one. Number two, when it happens, first of all, most guys will have performance anxiety around that because it's a good possibility that it may not happen. It may not work. So he may be able to, when it comes to masturbation, be able to get himself to a certain place. But when it comes to the whole cycle of being able to handle that within the relationship, he may have an anxiety that it ain't going to work. Even if it probably will work or have some difficulty or may need some kind of massaging or some kind of whatever, but he's afraid of that. When fear creeps in, it's a deal break. It's going to break the deal. And what starts happening is he's going to start avoiding the whole issue of contact. He's going to start avoiding contact because he can't figure it out. Now, the beautiful thing is
that we've had several, you know, scientific and medical advances, and things like Viagra really do work. They really work.
They have those side effects.
The
side effects.
Well, they do have side. Well, here's the thing. But the
listen,
problem
if
is
something, if something can erect you but make you go blind, I don't know if you would bargain for that.
But wait a minute. Let me explain something real quick. Well, my point is that if you're healthy enough to have sex, then these things generally, you always going to have a small group of, if, looking at the studies, you have a small group of people that have the adverse effects. The average
right.
guy that's having some kind of erectile dysfunction, he can take one of these drugs, and it works for him, just like he was young again. But if he's that unhealthy that he can't have sex because he has some kind of heart or other problems, and that's a whole, then of course he ain't going to take the drug, but he can't be doing too much exertion anyway. If these guys ain't about to drop dead, then they can get some help. Now, I don't know if their pride is too big because they got to figure out, you know, when to slip the drug into themselves so that they won't, you know, because it takes some time for it to work. So
right.
it's going to take some time for it to work. It's going to take about 15 minutes for or to a half an hour for it to work.
But you know
so,
what?
This is just, well, two things I want to say. My cousin Butch is out there listening, and he sends a text to me. He wants to say that Gail is a trip.
And he just asked.
So, Turtle, do me a favor and just say hi to my cousin Butch who's listening to you. Where'd she go?
It's
Turtle.
I think Turtle crept off.
Okay. We're gonna actually break and take we're going to bring on one of my other favorite guest callers. Of course, it is none other than Chris from New York. Chris!
Hey Bree, how you doing?
How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm all right.
Well, listen, we're talking about sex. What say you?
Well, I believe that it just comes along with when you get comfortable. I mean, when you're both comfortable enough to take that step or take that plunge, I think that, you know, the two people just got to get together and decide when it's a good time to do that. Sometimes both people can think they're ready and they're not really ready. So you just got to, you know, you gotta keep your eyes open, keep your brain on. And make sure that you can get the most out of it, you know. I don't think that it's 10 days or 100 days or nothing like that. I just think that when two consenting adults, I mean, in my age bracket, everybody's been through the motions before. We're really looking to be with, you know, a certain kind of personality, a certain kind of maybe you're looking for a certain type of sexual involvement, and these are all things that can be discussed and planned and played through. So, you know, I don't think that there's a time. I don't think that there's a specific time. I think that if you're paying close attention to each other, you'll know when the time is right.
And I think Chris makes an excellent point. But what I want to say, Bree, that, you know, Bree, I talk a lot. And, you know, I talk a lot of mess or whatever, but my wife Stoney's here. I'm going to give her the line because she's chomping at the bit over here. You want to talk to Stoney?
Yes, we want to hear from my sister Stoney.
Well, hold on. Here she go. Hold on.
Hello.
Hey, Stoney.
Hi.
Hey.
What's happening?
I hear you guys hear him over here, and I'm like, why are they listening to my husband's madness?
No, well, we're talking about sex.
Madness,
so,
not Alex.
Yes. Yeah.
But we're talking about sex, so what say you on the topic?
Okay. Well, you know, I heard some of the things that he was saying, and especially the last comment he made about men have to, you know, take their focus and put it down there and do all they got to do, and women don't have to do that but lay there and spread their legs and all that stuff. And
well, how crazy is it?
Wow.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, to me, there is a lot of focus on a woman's part too, because if we're not in the mood, it ain't going to happen, and men know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get us in the mood, or guess what? It's not going to become enjoyable.
It will be a session of just laying there and opening your leg.
Exactly. There won't be any enjoyment. There won't be any noise. There won't be any satisfaction. And the men will see it, and guess what? That goes to their ego. As Alex was saying before, that men have egos. And if they don't feel that the woman is into it, you know, that then they're not doing their job as them getting us, helping us getting into the mood, or caring about us, or, you know, during throughout the day, as we would sometimes say, foreplay throughout the day, you know, calling and texting the I love yous and doing all that. That does something for the woman. That gets us in the mood a lot of times.
This is very true. It's not about being... not about being horizontal. It's about what's going on when we're vertical.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what?
Exactly.
The thing that I'm hearing here, though, is it sounds like when I hear what the sister is saying here, she's talking about something that's more of a long-term interaction. Not that you can't start in the beginning, but if you don't even know the person yet, you know, you got to work out, like you said, the rules of engagement. But when you meet somebody right off and there's some kind of energy, you do what you do with it. But when you get to a longer-term relationship, there's what I call maintenance. There's maintenance.
Right.
And that is
so true. And I was thinking about this before I got on, is that, you know, and I know that it's about abstinence. This show is about abstinence. And Alex was saying that sex is a very powerful tool, and it is. And a lot of times it's a distraction, because we forget, if we go into the sex part too fast, we forget about the important part, because one of my rules is I have to see how you handle being angry. I have to see how you handle pressure. And if I turn around and have sex with you, I'm going to forget all that. I'm going to forget, because it's going to be like we always do. It's great in the beginning. We're in the honeymoon stage, and we want to do all
what I call the twilight.
Right, the twilight, exactly, the twilight. And then we forget that, you know, that this person is maybe not be wrapped too tight, but boy, when we get in the sheets, he's on point or she's on point. But then they could be a basket case, and we did not do our due diligence, and we gave up something that was very precious, and we sat there and gave it to somebody.
The essence that I was talking about earlier.
I gave up some precious too, ladies, but go ahead.
What?
I mean, I gave up some precious too. I don't know. I mean, you get yours ain't no more precious than mine. But go ahead, I'm listening.
Oh, please, okay.
Quite interesting. Oh, mine ain't special. I mean, I'm just saying. You know,
yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean.
Continue,
yeah,
oh, you are.
I mean, I honestly think that if you are going to have, if you are in any relationship, any beginning new relationship, you have to see this person in certain facets of their life and see how they do their thing, because it may not jive. But we have sex. Everyone can do that. Anybody. I mean, we're having 15, 16, 17-year-olds doing this, but they cannot handle the day-to-day of a relationship. So we have to give the example of saying, okay, you know what? I'm in a new relationship. He doesn't spend the night. She doesn't spend the night. We go on walks. We talk. I know this person like this. She knows me this way. She knows I like extra peanut butter with my jelly sandwiches and stuff like that. Things like that that help build the relationship. So when we have the icing on the cake, which is the sex, everything can work. But if I see something before, I'm not connected to you that way. But
you're right. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? This is a perfect segue for another email that I received this week. Mm-hmm. And it was from a listener of mine in Los Angeles. And she sent me an email stating that she had been dating someone on and off. It never got to the intimate level. And one day they were having a conversation on the phone. Now, this emailer goes on to say about how she and this person never had any type of real intense sexual dialogue on the phone or face-to-face. And one day they were talking, and he said, I sent you a picture. Did you get it? She said, no, let me look at the phone. She looks at the phone, and there's a picture of him with his penis in his hand.
Wow.
She was happy,
and
right?
He said she didn't quite know how to respond to it. By the way,
right, right.
So what she did was, you know, she changed the subject, and eventually they hung up. And she didn't talk to the president for 2 days, and then she talked about it with him, and she told him, quite frankly, you know, she didn't appreciate him sending this picture to her. And he said, well, you know, we were talking about this subject and you were upset and I was trying to, you know, make a joke and, you know, if I offended you, I'm sorry. What does everybody listening that's on the line, one by one, starting with ladies first, what do you think about that, Stoney? And
wow.
Mind you, based on the email, it states that She just dated this guy a couple of times. They were like in the getting to know stages. Stoney?
Yep. Wow. I think that this new age of technology, it hurts us a lot, with especially being social, like, you know, doing the things that's being social. And I think, one, he was testing the waters to see how she would react.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give him his in, or
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to come back and say, oh, it's just a joke, I was just playing around, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
That was just to see how she was going to react. If she was like, ooh, look at you, then he knew what his next move would be. That is my thing.
Thank you,
Chris.
Tony, thank you.
Chris.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Chris?
I don't think nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm sure she's seen one before.
Okay. Moving around. Is Turtle there still? Okay, Turtle's not there. So we're going to continue to move around. Is Carl, is Big C from Pennsylvania there? Hello? Okay, moving right along to my co-host, Mark in Houston, Texas. What say you?
Yeah. Well, I remember you brought this up to us. You told us about this story when I was at the barbershop the other day, and I had Bree on the speaker. And you had Martin the barber, and you had Pat the barber sitting there, and they were laughing. Because at first, they were like, well, what's the problem? And then, you know, Bree's position was, that's crazy, that's out of control, that's whatever. And they were like, well, he just wanted to see what he can do. I mean, hey, he probably was, like, liking her. He probably still had other things to say to her before, and she wasn't moving around on it, so he threw something out at her. He can say, hey, he can find out real quick if she want to do something, if she don't want to do it. Now, Stan said something about, you know, she said something about, you know, technology hurt us. Well, it only hurts folks that ain't got no control. I mean, I don't know if you got control, you know, you ain't going to do nothing like that unless that's what you want to do. You feel you can do that. Because, I guess you ain't worried about it. If he didn't take the whole picture of himself, then he ain't really worried about you showing it to nobody else. So, you know what I'm saying? Because who going to know it's him anyway? Except for maybe a couple females that had him already, and I don't know if they even probably remember. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's your little gift. There, you know, whoever the woman is, that's her gift.
She took her 2 days. It took her 2 days to say, oh, my, come on. She wasn't worried about that. It took her 2 days,
right.
It took her 2 days, and she talked to two of her friends before they told her, you better tell them that that wasn't right.
No, that's not what the email says. The email says that she didn't talk to him for a couple of days. And not because of that, it doesn't state anything specific. It just said that she didn't talk to him for a couple of days. And when the next time she talked to him, she told she told him that it was inappropriate and that she didn't appreciate it. And he apologized. And
A grown woman waited 2 days to tell a guy that she was talking to on the phone when she should have said, what the hell is wrong with you?
Right then and there. Right then and there.
She hung the phone up.
She hung the phone up. 2 days.
She hung the phone up.
But like Chris said, as a grown woman, if you offended, why would you hang the phone? Tell me that. Why are you going to wait 2 days? I mean, and that's why we have a problem with these mixed messages on both sides. Because you had, you know, whoever the woman had, she had the opportunity to answer that right there. But she going to pause for 2 days and then finally come back with a retort. I mean, that's kind of crazy. You might be thinking, oh, what were you doing them 2 days? Looking at it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, the email clearly states, and I don't know if you heard this part, they were in a heated conversation about something else before he sent the picture. And he sent the picture to her as what he claims as a joke to kind of like lighten up what the serious thing that they were arguing about.
And it worked. Okay.
And that's the other thing. It wasn't so much what he sent, it was the timing, I believe. Because you said they were in a heated discussion. And a lot of times us as women, we don't always think of sex all the time. I mean, men would love us to do, but sometimes our brain doesn't go that way all the time, a lot of women. So if we're not in that mood, and she may have taken it differently if they were talking about meeting up and having, that sex talk, like, so what do you like to have done to you? What is your favorite position? All that kind of stuff. Because I think you need to have that kind of talk. If you want to bed this person eventually, you need to know, the women need to tell the men what they need to have done to them to get them to that spot. And if that man did the timing, that's so he needed to know her a little bit more, because else he wouldn't have sent that. If he knew her a little bit more, he wouldn't have sent that in that. That's what I'm saying. Know the person that you're talking to, because there's no way that if I'm in a heated discussion and I'm thinking, oh, I'm trying to get my stuff off, and you send me a text that has you with your penis out, I'm going to be pissed because I'm already pissed.
Can I ask you something? I got to ask a question real quick. So you said something, and it's kind of a segue in a sense. You said something. You said having this conversation. Forget that. I mean, we ain't going to forget that. It is what it is. The man did what he did. She had to work it out. But I'm saying, all things being equal, let's say they have some kind of healthy relationship or whatever. You just said something that was quite interesting to me. You said that there should be some kind of conversation about the things that you want or you like when it comes to sexuality.
Absolutely.
Now, let me tell you. Can I tell you what a woman, I just had a conversation with a woman the other day. She said this to me, because we were talking, and she said whatever she was saying about what she was saying. So then she said to me, she said, well, I feel like that's something that you need to do some exploration. When I allow you to have that opportunity with me, you're going to have to do some exploration, and I'll let you know if you're in the right place or you're in the wrong place. But I don't want to give up all my secrets. I was like, wow.
When something goes somewhere that she doesn't like,
she
have a problem with it, then it is what it is. You get what you get.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy.
To me, that sounds like either she's playing a game or she likes anything and everything.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
She's saying, I ain't going to let you. You ain't got to worry about all of that. If you become the one, you'll find out.
Okay.
I'd rather
be clean and clear.
That's making them want to chase more.
Excuse me?
For some men, that makes them want to chase more.
Because
she ain't saying she ain't got a problem with it. She's saying, I'm not going to let you know nothing until you get the draws. When you can get the draws, then you can find out. You can have full disclosure. And you can have full exploration, baby. Don't worry. If
right.
I hear we'll let you know.
So it, right. So that means that anything, so everything is no holds barred. That's kind, to me, that's kind of scary, because what else, so who before you, she disclosed that to, and how much did she do with that person? He ended up not being the one.
Right.
See,
well,
she knows.
Here's the point. Huh? He may not become the one. He
right.
may not become the one. But because he led the conversation into that. But she said, okay, since you want to talk about this, this is what I'm going to tell you when it comes to me. You ain't got to worry about that. I mean, because right now, obviously, he wasn't the one at that moment.
Right.
But she didn't say nothing.
Well, she didn't have to. She didn't have to.
She probably say that to everybody.
Right.
Exactly. She probably do. That's the whole point. The point is that at the end of the day, no matter what is said, you still have to get to. One thing I will agree with her on, at a certain point, you can tell a man a lot of things about you. But like you were saying, Stoney, because you all are so emotional and you're, regardless of what you told me yesterday about how you want to be touched, if I can go there today and find out I got a different woman that ain't feeling that way about that certain touch today, she want to be touched on her heel, on her foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if her body is erogenous zone, then that means that obviously she can be pleased in many different places. But what the issue is, even if she tells me all the places she can be, it still may be Easter egg hunt. Because at the end
which
of the day,
leads me to another email that I received this week. And you know, it's amazing. I wish that the women would call and talk about this stuff, but I'm very thankful that they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're emailing me, which you can do so at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. I received another email from a woman listener, and she stated that her boyfriend and her have been having sex for the better part of a year and a half. And every time that they're intimate, you know, she makes it clear to him that she likes noise. She likes
mm-hmm.
interaction. And
mm-hmm.
he's kind of stiff and
mm-hmm.
is not doing any talking, not talking to her. It's just like she said, to be graphic, she said it's like crickets in the room. You can hear the crickets in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
then
bed speaking. And she said she's frustrated about that because she loves him and everything, but she keeps telling him the same thing, and it doesn't seem to improve it. And she wants to hear from our guest callers, what should she be doing? What else does she need to say or do to get him to get it?
She want to hear the call of the wild.
I'm sorry?
Call of the wild.
Mm. Yeah, she want to hear the call of the wild.
Chris said she needs to let it go. Let him go.
You said what?
Yeah, she wants to hook. She's talking.
Tarzan on the TV behind us.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, she wants to come.
Tell her to corn.
This is not the hookup show.
Honestly, to me, that is a not uncommon.
It's not
where because of the sounds that people make and everything, it's eternal. And eventually, I believe she's just going to become so robotic and so over the top, like done with it, that either one or two things is just that she's just going to call it off and say, I can't do this anymore because
mm-hmm.
I'm not being satisfied, because it's just not going to be mm-hmm. enough for her. Or she's
mm-hmm.
going to step out, and the next person is going to be the one that gives her what she wants and be done with it.
Well, Tony, you know, the funny thing about it is conversely, you got women that don't want to hear certain language
oh my
in the bed.
Gosh, really?
Some women trust and believe, and I say that,
mm-hmm.
trust and believe.
Yes,
you
we've
have
talked
women
about
that.
That.
They don't want to have certain language. You have certain women that don't want to hear no noise. They don't really want you to say too much of nothing. They want you to get to your work and do your work and put your work
wow.
in.
Wow, that's mechanic.
Fantastic.
You're right.
Wait a minute. See, here's the thing. We all grown here. The reality is, just because you don't say that don't mean it's got to be mechanics. The thing is this. Everybody, because somebody can have some very good techniques, but don't want to open their daggone mouth. And that's okay. It is okay. The only problem is when two ain't on the same page. That's the only problem. I don't care. You ain't got to make no noises. You can hear the crickets. The crickets may be comforting to you if that's what you want to hear. And some people might want to sound like they're having a ball.
No,
over
I it. Don't think to this listener, the crickets are not very comforting. They're not comforting.
It's not like a WWE over in the next room.
Here's what I'm going to say to all the men that are in earshot of my voice. Make some noise.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. And listen, Bree said it all day long, all night long. Make some noise.
Bree, that's Bree.
What?
That's what Bree wants.
No, listen, we're not talking about me. Okay, I'm not interested.
Don't you want it to make some noise, toes curling.
Make
I want to
some
know
noise.
You are taking what I'm. You're receiving what I'm taking. What I'm giving. That's what I want. That's what I want to know.
So you want to show some signs?
Excuse me.
Show some signs. You have it, and you know what? Clap your hands. That's what you're saying.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Oh boy, I love it. All right.
Here we go.
Come on, Chris.
All right. Why is nobody paying attention to the fact that they are in a healthy sexual relationship outside of noise for a year and a half? I think that if she was turned off by the fact that he wasn't making any noise, how could they still be in a healthy sexual relationship after a year and a half?
Oh, women got endurance, Chris. One thing about a woman is, if a woman is putting up with. Yeah, a woman is loyal to you. One thing I can tell you, I will give
Tony,
it by talking
Tony, to you. Tony, you know what, Mark, for once, we have more than two women on the line. So let us, Tony.
Yes.
Just tell me how you feel about what Chris said now. He wants to know, how is it that this person could deal with the fact that a year and a half has gone by and she's, you know, but the email said that she's talked to her boyfriend several times about this.
Exactly.
And, you know, he might make some adjustments. Once, and then the next couple of times he goes back into his silent mode, and she has to remind him again. And she said she's becoming frustrated, and she wanted to know what do we think she should do differently to keep him aware of the fact that she needs more vocal engagement between the both of them during intimacy. You know, women have the ability to put up with a lot of things that we ain't happy with when we care about somebody. We try to make something work.
Right.
But Chris got a point, Chris got a good point, though, y'all. He does.
Well,
got a good
I see his point. I understand his point, and I want to validate that.
You understand
his point
too.
In that.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, but like you were saying, Bree, that, you know, we do put up with a lot of stuff. And if we just want a little noise when we're doing our action. So one of the suggestions that I'm thinking of is that if he's first find out what is that how he was taught, that not to make any noise. Okay, if that's something he's taught, he's been doing that, you may not be able to get him out of that for a while. So my one suggestion is put in the background – or like maybe if it's not offending or anything, a porno tape where there's noise. You don't have to see it. Put it on.
What?
You got your noise.
Oh,
got your noise.
You put a football game on.
Because when I say ask him, because he may need to be focusing. Maybe he's focusing so he won't you know, released too fast or too soon or something like that. So he maybe that's probably why he doesn't make any noise. I don't know. But if it's something
right.
that will help her and like Chris was saying, they have a healthy relationship to some degree and it's all, only the noise that she wants, then put on
mm-hmm.
a porno tape where there's noise, where they're making all sorts of noises.
Uh-huh.
And you well, doing your thing and you got your noise until he figures out that
well,
she performs better when she hears the noise of sexual act from sexual act. And
but
maybe that will help.
Would you say, Stoney, that typically most women who are comfortable in their sexuality, who are comfortable with being sexual, that noise is a proponent for getting their juices and keeping their juices flowing and, you
I
know.
I believe that, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I do. Can I ask
okay.
you this?
You heard it here on Bree Life Radio.
Let me say,
guys, make some noise.
Make some noise.
Wait a minute. Let me say this real quick. What I would suggest to the caller, too, is this. You need to, if a person is not making noise a lot of time, he may not be comfortable. So even if you teach him, that ain't what he wants to do. And one thing about sex is this. When you have relations with a woman or and you're a man or and vice versa, whatever the case may be, there are things that you as a woman don't like. You may not like to be touched certain places. But if he likes doing that a lot and you don't want to compromise that peace, then you do need to look at the overall beauty of the relationship. And if the overall beauty of the relationship is intact, then you got to ask yourself, why are you putting so much premium on certain things? Now, if the thing is in shambles,
if the premium is also adding to her sexual pleasure,
mm-hmm.
then she has the right to say,
right.
I need this in order to be a willing participant in it, so that we can both have a successful
yeah.
climax.
Well, we can have a successful climax if we both can meet each other in a place. If we both can meet each other in a place.
If she going back to there
with Mark,
yeah,
I can't hear.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying with what Chris is saying.
Mark, I can't hear Chris.
He said, is that a deal breaker? That's what he just asked. Was that a deal breaker?
I'm saying that it's obviously not the deal breaker. I mean, him making them noises is probably like the cherry on top of the ice cream. The fact of the
mm-hmm.
matter is, if it was the deal breaker, she wouldn't have to talk of having a healthy sexual relationship for a year and a half. They are not married. They have
mm-hmm.
talked about it. She has already, whether she realized it or not, made a conscious decision that I'm not going to get what I want, but I'm not giving this man up.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. I was saying this. If he likes to, I don't know, pull hair, for instance,
mm-hmm.
she don't like that. He gets his
mm-hmm.
climax and gets fired up about pulling hair. She don't want her hair pulled. That, to me, no different than making noise. That's just one
mm-hmm.
element. So the question is, if we sit back and put all the elements on the table, how much of this do I like versus how much I don't like? And like Chris said,
mm-hmm.
if it's a deal breaker, then she ain't coming back to bed. If it ain't a deal breaker,
mm-hmm.
then she can do like Stoney said. She can approach him about it. But if that's the place that he can't seem to go, he can't dig in. It ain't even about he don't want to please her. That's not a place he knows how to access or desires to access.
Okay,
so now,
I'm moving right along. Moving right along from this topic, there's a couple of more emails that I want to address, and I'm going to infuse all three into one. I have an email from, and what I did, because I knew that I was going to have plenty of male or men guest callers, I'm only reading emails from women. So these three women.
Mm-hmm.
One says that her boyfriend is pressuring her to now have anal sex, and she's not really comfortable with the idea of that. and she doesn't know how to tell him that she really, that's like, you know, she's not feeling it. The other one says that her boyfriend wants for them to make a sex tape, and they have not come to a place in their relationship where they're going to be getting married. There's no ring on her finger. She said the only way that she would be willing to make that sex tape is if they were living in the same house, there was a ring on her finger, and that would be her comfort space in order to do that. She said typically that would not be something that she would be interested in doing, but because she loves her boyfriend and she wants to spend her life with him, she's considering doing this, but only if he's willing to you know, commit to her on that level. And then, well, let's talk about those two things. What say you? What say you, Christopher? Let's go with Christopher first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I automatically think about the girl that wants the guy to yell like Tarzan or call her name, whatever she wants. I consider that the same as something that you want to add into the sexual routine.
Right.
The fact is that I feel that in everybody has a right to say, no, this is where I draw the line. Everybody mm-hmm. has a right to mm-hmm. say that. And I think that everybody has a right to the other person also has a right to say, well, if that's going to be the deal breaker for you, and it's so important to me that it's a deal breaker for me too. The mm-hmm. fact of the matter is, if she don't want to do it, if she doesn't want to try it, or if she can't incorporate it into their sexual routine, and just like this guy can't yell like Tarzan in his sexual routine, I think that you have to decide how important it is to you. And I mean, all she should do is be honest. She should be honest mm-hmm. with the guy and say, "Yo, I'm not comfortable with it." He's gonna do whatever in his power to try to convince him. No different than the girl on the other side that says, "Hey, I want you to yell like Tarzan when we're making love because I'm tired of hearing the bed springs." It's no different. The fact of the matter is that whatever's calling you back to that bed is a good thing, because I believe that intimacy is an important part of a relationship, especially if it's just me and you. So whatever's calling you back there, you gotta have a whole lot these days to keep calling you back. Yeah.
All right, Stoney, what say you?
I do agree with Chris, especially off of the last one. He made a good point with the last one. Not everyone is going to like different sexual activities, or you know, all the sexual activities. There are boundaries that some people say, "Hey, I'm not going to do it." Maybe later on in life, they may come into and say, "You know what? I've never tried it. I don't like it. But I never tried it. Maybe I'll try it." But it's a boundary that a lot of women say they will not do that. They say, "Hey, that's a limit that I will not admit to go in. Out but not in." All that stuff. And so I agree with Chris on that. On the number one, with the pressuring of the anal sex one. For number two, the sex tape. It sounds like she's just putting conditions, just like she's open to it, but she's putting conditions on doing it for a ring. And so to me, why would you say, okay, give me the ring on the condition on us having a sex tape? We live together and then I'll do the sex tape. That's not what an engagement ring is or a promise of getting married. That is not what that promise is, that engagement ring is for. A promise of doing a sexual act. I think she's just
in a roundabout way just saying that she's not going to do it with somebody that she doesn't have a commitment from. I mean, that's all it is. That's all she's really saying. I'm saving that
for whoever's going to be with me for the rest of my life, for the rest of our marriage.
But then they turn around and she gets the ring, and then they get the commitment, and she still won't do it. That was just for her, just to make an excuse.
Yeah,
if you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, but why? Where do you think that she got that bargaining chip from? You don't think that bargaining chip is something that came out of her brain? Is that she feels that way? You don't think that?
Well,
that
but
she like,
the thing is this. The thing is this. You know, and this goes back to what I just was saying, because these two questions were no different than the last one. They were the same one.
Right.
I mean, we just put different faces on it. The bottom line is this, and it was what I was saying right before I got cut off, and it was this. It was that at the end of the day, you choose what you like. So when you both of you all said, men holler, okay, that's what he wants to do. Y'all got to come to a bottom line. And what Chris kept saying, which I'm 100% in agreement with him, is this. At the end of the day, you got to put everything on the table. You got to look at what you like, you don't like, and come out with what you want to come out with. I mean, you want sex tapes, you want anal sex, you want hollering, fine. Then you need to find common ground or find somebody that want to do that. Because guess what? You all both are hollering. Guess what? But Chris, guess what? They both holler. I'm just using an example. They both holler. But I want you to know, ladies, I ain't putting either one of you on the spot. But I don't hear I don't hear y'all saying. I don't hear you all saying, men, we want anal sex.
Yeah, I don't hear that.
What's the difference?
Oh, my God.
And now we quiet. We want anal sex. We want it. You ain't doing that. You got the pom-poms out. Where the pom-poms at?
Well, that wouldn't be for us to say. That would be for you to say.
Why? If you like it, it would be for you to say.
Well, I mean, we haven't taken a poll of how many women really like that.
Well, you only needed one woman to agree with the hollering.
Well, you only need one woman to come up with the hollering. We only need one woman coming up with the hollering, but now we need to take a poll for anal sex. You know what? And I'm okay.
Yes, that's fantastic.
That's beautiful, y'all. That is so beautiful. But you see, I'm glad y'all see the bias in the room, and that's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
You heard that, Chris? No.
Very biased around here.
No, we breathing.
You know,
we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now.
Right.
Hey, Chris, just breaking it down today. He's right though. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and Stoney said it really well. You know, it's sexual practices, and everybody has to basically have some kind of meeting of the minds. Because the funny thing is, there are women that don't scream, Bree. There are women that don't make a lot of noise. They don't, and the brother wants to hear that. How you doing, baby? You like it? You like how I'm hitting it? You like how I'm hitting it? But she ain't saying a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's enjoying herself.
If that's what you want to hear, then you need to open up your mouth and say, you know what? When we're engaging, I really need to hear X, Y, and Z. Because that makes me feel like whatever I'm doing, you're digging.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
you know, it's your responsibility to make that known if that's something that you want.
But here's the thing, and Chris said this, the issue is you can say these things, but then you got to ask yourself, what's deal breakers? Because if it ain't a deal breaker, why do we keep revisiting something that I already let you know I don't want to do? Because if the brother been told already to stop by the holler, and he ain't holler, he don't want to do it.
That's right. And
so, then we got to flip it. If we're going to flip it back, we got to flip it. So the pressuring, if we know that we don't want to do it, the anal sex,
mm-hmm.
then why you try to pressure it? If you're not going to holler, why we got to do the pressure? Why you pressuring us for the anal
sex? I'm with you on that. I'm with you, Sony. Sony, can I get an amen? We should get, let's hold hands and let's sing Kumbaya. We on the same page. And Chris, grab the other hand.
I agree 100%.
Can we get Bree here?
I ain't holding nobody's hands on this. I'm sorry. I don't want to touch nobody. I'm using my antiseptic.
up for Gary Bias for this woman to want something to inhibit, to she wanted something that would help her enhance her sex, her personal sexual pleasure. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh, he needs to do something. And then he wants something to enhance his personal sexual pleasure, and it's not, oh, she needs to do something.
Hey, wait a minute. These two people are not having sex together.
Oh, come on. Come on. Breathe. Come on, Breathe. Tony, you heard that. You know she's taking the easy way out of this one. You know Chris is pointing her. Come on, Breathe.
Wow. No, listen, I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are, what you are willing to do and how far you're willing to go. If you really don't feel comfortable with something, you shouldn't be doing anything you don't feel comfortable with.
Right.
That's what I say. And so that means I'm piggybacking really
right.
for everything that everybody said so far. You should not be pressured to do something that you don't feel comfortable with. And if that's a deal breaker for that person, if them having anal sex with you is a deal breaker, then guess what I tell you? What do I say?
Mm-hmm.
Move around.
The same thing you said she was screaming. The same thing you said he was screaming, right? Same thing he was
what?
Screaming, right?
What is
the
what
same
I
was, thing you would say to the screamer or the lack thereof? Move around. If that's a screamer, screaming is a deal breaker, move around. There you go.
Screaming is a deal breaker, move around.
Move around. There you go. There you go. So it's a beautiful thing. See, I told you, we can hold hands. We can hold hands. Come on, Brie.
I still don't want to hold your hand.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to hold your hand.
You don't want to hold mine. Oh, my. You still don't want to hold my hand. Oh, my goodness.
It's
anarchy up in this piece. I can't believe it. Okay, all right. Well, you know what? This whole sex thing has been a blast. It's been a blast. Because you know what? We could do this show, like, every day this week, and I can promise you, you will get people calling in, and you write, you got these letters. These people will write the letters. And they're going to say these little different things. But at the end of the day, they still want it. We still want to do it. We still sexual beings, whether we do 30 minutes or wait for 30 days or 60 days. We want it. We want it.
Yep.
We want each other. We want each other. Yep. That's the thing about it. So once you put your ethics, your religion, your sociology, your nationalism, whatever you want to put on a sprinkler or whatever you want, we want sex. And we want it from each other. And we want it whether we love you,
but,
and we want
well,
it whether we
you
don't love you.
Heard Mark said it, and he said a lot of it, that we want sex. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, in fairness, we want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
We want a whole lot of
things
that will make
the
sexual experience that much more enhanced.
Absolutely.
I think that in all fairness, Stoney, would you not say that that's on both sides of the table? It's not just a woman thing. It's a man thing, too.
It's a man thing. Definitely, definitely. I mean, our egos, our men and women egos, it's so huge. And when you say to your honey that, you know what, you make my day complete. I mean, I know at the end of the day, I'm going to get some good loving from that statement, because he feels appreciated. He knows at that moment that he's my world, and he's going to make me feel, he wants to make me feel better and make me feel good. So he's going to holler, okay, mm-hmm. and that's just going to be it. And
Tony,
that will go to a nice lullaby.
So if I hear some... I hear some strange noises coming up 95 all the way up here. I'll know that my brother is hollering, as well he should.
Stoney, when you said what you were saying, Stoney, I thought about this. Because you're talking about, and that's in your long-term relationship, but I would tell you, even in the dating process, to receive a text message and someone's telling you that, hey, I thought about you, or, you know, when I woke up this morning. You know, the whole gamut of the thing. And when I said we want sex, here's the thing. This was a sex show. This wasn't a love show. This wasn't a love and appreciation show. And I understand those pieces. The only reason I said that about the sex that I did say is because, I, you know, a lot of people still feel sex is somewhat of a dirty thing. You know what I'm saying? And and not only that, then we have the all these rules around it saying almost like, oh, the girl or the guy is bad if they did have it the first night. My thing is this. I don't advise it on the first night, but who am I to put you in some bad category? And what happens a lot of times is you hear these things, and when you hear people say, oh, you shouldn't do, you shouldn't do, you shouldn't do, then it also suggests if you do it, then what are you if you do it? And then that's my only issue. And I'm saying it's a fine.
And I go back and I have to agree with Mark in saying that, yeah, this wasn't an appreciation show or a show about love. But me being me, I could not say that those things are not important and don't enhance the sexual experience, because it does. Because if you're texting me during the day or giving me impromptu calls or, you know, leaving notes behind before you leave for the day, or you send me flowers, or even when we're together and you're holding my hand, or we're walking down the street together and you put your hand in my back in that special place, and, you know, you just tell me in my ear that, you know, son, I really appreciate you, or I'm really digging you, or whatever you say in between, you know, between me and you. These are the things that enhance the sexual experience. And I guarantee you, if we do the thing that I talk about every week, every 2 days, every week that I'm on the air, that if we learn how to communicate better with one another, I can guarantee you the sexual experience will be off the hook.
And you know, and I agree with you guys with that. And as everyone knows, I'm pretty sure everyone has been in a long-term relationship at one point or another, if not now or before. Not every session is a lovemaking session in a long-term relationship, because there are times where you just want to have sex. You don't want to be. You don't want to sit there and have all the pleasantries. Your eyes are like lipid tools. All that. You don't want to do all that every time you make love. You want to have some sex. I want you to pull my hair. I want you to smack my butt. You do have those moments. And so and you have to be comfortable not only with yourself, with your mate that you're doing this with, even in a long-term relationship. And even in a just a person that you just meet, you still have to be comfortable with that person, even if you just met them after 2 weeks, you say, and you decide, and with a lot of women, we already know that, you know what, I really want him. And but we do the, okay, let's wait a couple of weeks.
Right.
And we do have the sex, and just from the simple pleasantries of, you know, like little kids, you know, you play in the palm of your hand, you just play with your fingers. That sends shocks to our, you know, because we want it.
Yeah. But
and
sometimes, Tony, when you say what you're saying, I have to agree with you, and I understand what Bree is saying. That's why I like the spectrums that are being offered here today in this conversation, because on the flip side of that, that first time, first meet, hit it, could be one of the most, it ain't been no bunch of rubbing, nice texts or nothing. It was just that emotion, that tension, and bam. Now, the reality is, will it keep carrying on? Probably won't without the other things, but I'm just saying that I know you're just saying. Wait a minute. I'm just emphasizing that primal piece. The reality is we're driven towards wanting to connect. That's what I'm saying. And I understand about caressing and flowers and you the beautiful. And nobody, I don't even think Chris is saying anything against those pieces. I'm just saying that the reason I wanted to have this show is because I wanted to really explore the fact that we're sexual beings. We have other emotions and we have other things that can be tapped. But we're sexual beings, and how do we navigate that being sexual beings? And that was what my desire was, to see this show come. And I think we've touched a lot of things when it comes to that area. So I think it was a really good show today. So,
In closing, I'd like to again say that this has been a great topic for us to explore.
I think we should definitely have a part two to this next week. I want to thank all the guest callers for calling in. Chris from New York, Big C from Pennsylvania, Gail, better known as Turtle, Minnesota. We have Stoney and Alex from Virginia, and you can follow them on Facebook at tell them the address, Stoney. Relationship Extra.
Relationship Extra. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, and you can follow that on Facebook, and you can also look for Relationship Extra on YouTube.
Yes.
And also, my co-host, my brother, Mark from Houston, Texas. Was a great topic. I'm glad we discussed doing it. And in closing, I want to say follow the show at Bree Life Radio, at Facebook, at Twitter, and blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. In closing, usual, peace and blessings. Thank you for calling in. I love you all on purpose. Take care.
Thank you.
Time, sit and acknowledge it. Positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building.
Crown Heights,
all the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.